Well, I'm excited for the outdoor service. By the way, maybe you're thinking, what if it's cold? It's an outdoor service, a drive-in service. And so if it's cold, you turn your radio on, you tune in. It's a super fun time. Also, Tuesday night, there are people say, hey, I'm not into riding, but I just want to come have ice cream. We've always had people come and have ice cream, and then there's a group that walks. If you're like, yeah, I'm going to bring little kids, we're not going to ride, but we would like to walk. There's, when it's warm, the splash park, there's another park right by there. So that is all stuff that's fun. And I think for that drive-in service, they're bringing out that that air cannon. You ever see that when we did that? We shot like hot dogs out of it in the gym and they stuck on the ceiling because we have it overcharged. That's going to be really, it's just going to be a fun service. The end of my message today, we're going to receive communion. And if you didn't get a cup on the way in, don't worry, we'll make sure to get you a cup. But it's a great day to reflect upon what God has done, especially when we think about chapter 12 in the story. I remember some years back, I was driving down our street headed to college. It was a great morning, and I'm driving down the street, and a car pulls out and hits the back of my car. And I thought, okay, we all make mistakes. Let's just exchange information and keep going. I'm like, maybe not. Did they really just pull back up into their driveway, into the garage, and shut the door? Yes, they did. Who does that? So I thought, oh, great, I'm going to be late to Dr. Camry Hoggett's class. And he always made fun of people who were late. So that's running through my mind. And I go to the door. Knock, knock. A little while later, someone opens the door. I said, hey, you just ran into my car. They said, no, nobody ran into your car. Okay, do you mind if we look in your garage, please? Sure. I'm not making this up. Garage door opens. I said, do you see that blue paint on the bumper? Yes. It matches my car perfectly. And they said, oh, our cars must have bumped. And I'm like, you mean when you were backing out of your driveway and you were distracted and you ran into me, then you hid in your garage. Is that what you're saying? And that's exactly what happened. And isn't that crazy? But the truth is, every one of us gets distracted. And when we get distracted, especially when it comes to the things of God, that's when we make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, there are always consequences for what we have done. And when I think of chapter 12 in the story, and in case you're new to Hope Church, we've been going through a book called The Story. You're welcome to pick one up on your way out, and next week you'll be just right there with us. The story is really about God telling his story, the redemptive story, through the nation of Israel. And to this point, they've been kind of a loose confederation of people, and they've kind of done things that were right in their own eyes, and they were tribes, but then something happens, and the nation now comes together under a king, a new king, and his name is David. You remember David, he's kind of a poet, he's a musician, he's also a warrior. One person said it like this: he was a harp-playing, giant-slaying, man-after-God's-own-heart kind of guy. David defeated his enemies time and time again. God raised him up in the midst of Saul trying to kill him. David was the one who took down Goliath. David's kingdom was expanding, and everything was going well. And David was experiencing the blessings of the Lord. And then we come to 2 Samuel. And that's the time when David gets distracted. He lets his guard down and he makes a tragic, tragic choice. He commits sin with Bathsheba, and that's Uriah's wife. And Uriah is one of the mighty warriors of David. He's one of David's elite men, and David commits adultery with his wife, and she gets pregnant. And so not only now has David committed sin, but he's got a plan, and he's going to cover it up. His men are out fighting, and David decides to bring Uriah back home, and we pick up kind of in the dialogue in chapter 11 of 2 Samuel, and this is what it says. Then he told Uriah, go home and relax. David even sent a gift to Uriah after he had left the palace. But Uriah didn't go home. He slept that night at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. When David heard what Uriah, that he had not gone home, he summoned him and asked, what is the matter? Why did you not go home last night? You've been gone for so long. And just imagine how David feels when Uriah says this. The ark and the armies of Israel and Judah are living in tents, and Jacob and my master's men are camping in the open field. How could I ever go home to wine and dine and sleep with my wife? I swear that I would never do such a thing. Sin always keeps you longer than you want to stay. Imagine David's heart right now. He had a plan, a very good plan. If he would have gone home and enjoyed the pleasures of his wife, then the baby would have been theirs. David told him, stay here tonight. Tomorrow, the next day, return to the army. So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next. Then David invited him to dinner and got him drunk. Okay, this is one of David's friends. David decides if he's drunk, maybe then he'll go home. But even then, he couldn't get Uriah to go home to his wife. Again, he slept at the palace entrance with the king's palace guard. So David has to make a choice. Do I own up to what I've done, or do I take this to another level? And he arranges to have Uriah brought to the front of the troops, and as they're fighting, have all of them pull back to make sure that he dies. Sin always keeps us longer than we want to stay. Uriah, David's friend, is killed in battle. Uriah's gone, problem solved. David marries the grieving widow. Everything's back to normal. David's plan worked. Sins are covered up. Garage door shut. Nobody's going to the door and knocking. And that's the problem when we sin. Sin is always going to take you further than you want to go, is going to make you stay longer than you want to stay. And as we see with David, it always costs so much more than you plan to pay. As you read the scriptures, we painfully watch the consequences of David's sin. God knows what David did and loves David so much and has blessed David so much and has set him up to be king that God couldn't let this slide, and he has one of David's friends, a prophet named Nathan, go to David And you maybe read this in the story. Basically, Nathan is saying, David, there's this guy. He has everything. Everything you could ever imagine. Huge flocks. Everything has been dealt to him. What he touches is gold. And then there's this other guy who has very little, like a couple of sheep. And the guy who has everything took the guy who has nothing's sheep. And David is outraged. Maybe he's outraged because of the struggle that's going on inside of him. And he knows where he has been and he knows what he has done. And since David is covered up, maybe he can make it right for somebody else who's done something wrong. And David basically says, get the rich man's head on a platter. And Nathan, I know he swallowed hard. And he responds to David, you are that man. David is exposed, but I think there's something else that happens. David is also exhausted. He's exhausted because he's had for about a year's worth of time, he's committed sin, he's tried to cover up sin, and he's had to work through these things strategically so that the garage door is shut and nobody sees the blue paint on the bumper. And David's exhausted. And he cracks. His heart breaks, and he confesses his sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. I know it was terrible, but it also was freeing. Sin has a way of punishing us when we keep it hidden. And when we confess our sin, there's a freedom, and we're no longer bound by that like we are when we try to hide it in secret. David also says this, he confesses, he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David writes these psalms in confession of what he has done. Now, David just majorly messed up. And that's what happens when we get distracted. When we get distracted and we're not focused on God, and there's so many things of this world that we can focus on. And when we get distracted, that's when we commit sin, and sin always has consequences. When we're distracted, yesterday, I decided to straighten out my scraggly beard just a little bit. So I clicked on a little trimmer thing, and I did. I'm like, whoa. That was a little shorter. And so I tried to make like a kung fu thing, or, you know, just something to make it look like I meant to do it. But I didn't. So instead of today, wow, what happened? I'm like, I picked the wrong clipper thing. Now, that wasn't a big deal. Another thing happened last night. There's consequences. We had our grandkids over and it was wonderful. We fed them chicken nuggets and french fries and things. It was wonderful. But they fed those french fries and chicken nugget things to our dog. I won't call that a sin, but I'll say there was a consequence. At 11:55, there was lots of whining from a dog. And I'm mad because church is on Sunday and I want to, like, you can sleep, sometimes you do, but I can't on a Sunday morning when I'm speaking. And the dog had an issue. 2:07, the dog had another issue. At 4:11, the dog had another issue. You know what? There's consequences for things. And for David, it wasn't so funny because he committed this major sin and sin kept him longer than he wanted to stay and caused him to do things he would never do. And then the cost of it, oh, it was so costly. David writes again, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." David confesses, and God forgives completely. That's the essence of the story. It's what the story is about. This is what we've been reading. God is saying, come back to me. Oh, I want to be hanging out with you. Adam and Eve, what have you done? I created you that I could have connection with you. God wants to bring us back to himself. Now, don't confuse escaping God's wrath with escaping earthly consequences of sin. The rest of chapter 12 and a lot of 2 Samuel, David endured severe consequences of his sin, and he bore many, many scars through the remainder of his life because of his sin. Come on, there's people sitting here today who still are bearing the consequences of their sin, or somebody who has sinned against them. We can absolutely be forgiven, and that's the beauty of it, but sometimes there are earthly consequences for the things that we do. And David, boy, did he ever live this. Let me read that verse one more time. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you. I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sins." Not only does David confess his sin, he confesses God's power to overcome his sin. You see, God's grace covered over David's sin when David uncovered his sin. Do you get that? When we try to hide our sin, God knows. And sin has a way of looking so attractive initially. Everybody's doing it, you know, don't be so, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then we sin, and before we do it, the devil says, oh, you're fine, nobody will know, it's all good. Just shut the door on it, it's all good. Once we sin, the devil says, you're rotten. You think God loves you? God doesn't love you, and you shouldn't love you. There's nothing about you that is any good. You're a terrible human being. And that's a tough place to be, right? But we're all going to get distracted. Every one of us is going to sin. We don't want to. Sometimes we want to. God's strength will eradicate the sting of sin if we are honest and confess our sin. I mean, we're not a whole lot different than David. I'm not saying that you're going to become the king of Israel, or that you're going to commit adultery and have the person's husband murdered, but we're all distracted. We've all sinned. How many times have we tried to hide our sin? I remember as a little boy looking for pennies and nickels in my mom's purse. So I stole her purse and went into the bathroom, and I was looking for things, and then she wanted to know where her purse was, and she put two and two together and figured the purse is gone, and so is little Jimmy. We've got an issue. So she knocked on the bathroom door just as I had all of her dollars and, you know, all of that in my hand, and I thought, what do I do? I flushed all of that down the toilet because I didn't want her to know. Well, there are consequences for sin. You know, I told you when I was a little kid and I started smoking. I thought that was a great thing to do. I couldn't buy cigarettes, so it's not a problem with a creative young mind. I made my own. Crushed up leaves and rolled it in toilet paper. Let me just tell you something. When toilet paper is wet, it sticks. So I lit it on fire, and instead of smoking, the whole thing was on fire, and I was trying to spit it out, and guess what happened? It didn't spit out easy, so burnt the hair off the front of my head when I had hair on the front of my head. My eyelashes and things were kind of red. Don't laugh. It was a serious moment in my life. Then as a teenager, I was super cool, and I thought I would chew Redman tobacco. Well, I almost got caught, so I decided to swallow it. I know why they call it Red Man. I became a completely red young man. Sometimes we're just dumb. I'm talking about me, not you. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we purposely choose not to do it God's way. And there are so many lives that are in shambles because they chose not to do it God's way. Sharon said to me, Jim, I understand David's sin, but why did a little baby have to die because of it? I said, well, Sharon, you think that sin doesn't have consequences for the innocent? That was David's seed and that baby, and God said, you did this wrongly and you caused murder. So this is what happens. Now, because God is a good God and a redemptive God, guess who David also had as a son? Solomon. But you understand there's consequences. People sin, and because of that, you get hurt, I get hurt. And then there's sins that we commit, and we think that nobody sees it, and we shut the garage, but God sees it. And there's a price to pay for that. That's why we have communion. It's a reminder that we are sinners, but yet there's a bigger thing going on. Christ died for our sins, so we don't have to be plagued by those sins. Christ died for those sins that we might be forgiven. Christ died for those sins that we don't have to feel so much shame, even though we've done bad things. Remember the thief on the cross? There was two of them, and there was a little bantering going on, and the one was making fun of Jesus, and the other one said, come on, remember me. He knew I'm a sinner. I belong on this cross. I'm nailed here for a reason. And Jesus said to him, you're going to be with me in paradise. Because it wasn't about how bad he was, it's about how good Christ is. And depending on where you have your focus, the devil can make you think you're such an awful person, you can't love yourself, and because you can't love yourself, you're unlovely, and that's how you act around others, and you wonder why people don't like it. It's because you don't like yourself. And that's the beauty of the cross. But here's what I know about Christians. We accept Christ, and then we just pretend like we don't sin. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to sin. Well, I don't want to sin either. And I think the closer I get to Christ, maybe the less I sin, but I still sin. And so do you. I love this verse that John writes when he's the latter part of his life, when he's been exiled onto an island. He says, if we claim to be without sin or we just brush it off, oh, it's no big deal, it's not really a sin. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There are still black and whites in a gray world. And there's a whole lot of gray in our world. But the scripture is very clear. Why? Because there is truth, and because of truth, we get set free. That is important. Truth sets us free. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from unrighteousness. If we say, God, I'm sorry, I acknowledge my sin like David. I don't cover up my iniquity. I confess my transgression. You forgive the guilt of my sin. That's so powerful. That is what communion is about today. You don't have to be a member of Hope Church to receive communion, but you have to understand that Jesus paid a price so you could be reconnected with the Father. Jesus paid a price so you could be reconnected with the Father. And David, even though he sinned, and that's a pretty big sin. I mean, not only is adultery a sin, but take it a step further and have one of your friends, have one of the people who help win the battles for you for years, have that person murdered. David came back to a relationship with God. The Bible says after he had done this, that he had a heart after God. I know he had to pay a price. His son, Absalom, and the things that he did in his kingdom and so much turmoil, he had to pay a price here on earth, but he still had a right relationship with God Almighty. It's so powerful, and that's what communion is about today. It's not about your badness, it's about his goodness, and it's about you and me confessing our sins because he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to purify us. Do you know when Christ looks at you, when you confess your sins, he looks at you through the lens of him hanging on the cross, and he says, you're totally forgiven. Last week after church, I prayed for a bunch of folks, had them look up at me, and someone said after church, they said, I hope someday I can quit looking up at you to have you pray for me. And I said, oh, no, you don't get it. One of the biggest honors I have as a pastor is when somebody is honest and says, I need help. It's one of the biggest honors I have to pray for you. I said, I don't look down at you, I look up at you. And I'm so thankful that you're honest before the Lord. Because that's how you get set free, friends. That's how you can lay your head on your pillow and not have every bad thought running through your mind. It's not only that you need forgiveness of God, you also need to be reminded that you can forgive those who have wronged you. There are people who've done really bad things to people who didn't deserve really bad things to be done to them. That's why we need forgiveness, that we can also ask God's help to forgive others, whether they say they're sorry or not. Forgiveness is about you being set free. There's a difference between forgiveness and restoration. Restoration is when somebody says, I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgiveness is you saying, whether you're sorry or not, I'm going to let it go because I'm not going to allow you to control my life. It's a big difference. I love taking communion because it reminds me that I have hope. That I have hope. Because of what Jesus did for me. And you have hope as well. I'm going to open to a passage of scripture in Corinthians, but if you don't have the communion elements, Pastor Kevin's in the back and he'd love to bring them to you. Just slip your hand up and let him run up here and give that to you. And I'll invite the ones who led us in worship today to come up, and they're going to close with a song. The Bible sometimes is pretty real, and because of that, it also seems pretty raw. I mean, if I was writing this, I probably would add all the good parts, but would you really talk about a man who committed adultery, then murdered another man? That's what the scripture says. That's how deep God's forgiveness goes. Here's what the scripture says. Paul's writing this to the church of Corinth, and he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" You proclaim the Lord's forgiveness for you until you meet face to face. You proclaim the Lord's strength given to you until you meet face to face. My body was broken so that you might be whole. I shed my blood so that you could have forgiveness for your guilt. Man, don't you love the story? Yesterday I finished the book of John, and those last chapters, they came to take Jesus, and Jesus asked them, "Who are you looking for?" And they all fell down. And I'm like, and then I think he smiled and he said, "Now, who are you looking for?" And I think with shaky knees, they said, "I think it's you." He had so much power that at his breath, they all just fell. So much power. When he was asked, "Are you a king? Do you realize I have the right to crucify you or not crucify?" He said, "You don't have any rights over me at all, except the one that was given to you." Do you understand that Jesus could have annihilated every single one of them with one blink? But he didn't. So today, you and me, we could feel forgiveness. Literally feel forgiveness. We could feel his love. And then it translates into how we live. It's so powerful. Let's pray together, and then we'll have the bread, and then we'll also have the juice. Father, thank you. Oh, my goodness. I felt so bad for David this week. And yet it's just another sign of not his weakness, but your strength, and that you literally want to have a relationship with us. These are all precursors of Christ. Christ died so we may have life. As we take this element today, God, would you help us to be absolutely honest with you and confess our sins? God, we need strength in our bodies. Some of us need healing today in our bodies. Some of us need healing in our emotions. Some of us need healing spiritually. God, we take this bread and we say, thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken for us. And as we think about this cup, it's a super big deal. Jesus, I think about what you did, and I've never been able to understand it. I've never been able to comprehend that you, being God, decided to come down on earth to die that we might be made right. That just doesn't make sense to me, but I'm so thankful that today we can confess our sins, and you are faithful and just not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us. And this juice that we take represents your blood for us. God, as we take this now, may we feel that cleansing again, the washing of our sins away. God, take our guilt away. Help us to see us as you see us and not to be condemned as the devil wants to condemn us. God, what an honor it is to be at Hope Church today. What an honor for those to be watching at home. Bless these friends, oh God. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this last song.